This is Melting Titanium number 36. I make a mistake and say cash flow, but it is the night before cash flow, Tuesday night, December 15th. Okay.
This is cash flow number 36, recorded on December 15th, copyright 2009, New Grandview Incorporated. All rights reserved, and we're starting at 6 p.m.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And happy Melting Titanium.
Yes, it's number 36. We're getting close to 40. 40 days in the wilderness.
Yes, the prequel to cash flow.
Yes, the warm-up, the rehearsal, or actually the better show, depending on who you are and what your spiritual skills are.
Well, they all have them. It's just whether you embrace them or not. And since you're there, we'll welcome everybody on the highway to heaven and the stairway to hell, or vice versa.
To the last resort.
While everything's coming up roses, or with gardenias at the very least. And that brings up a point. We'll start off with attaching and deliberating a bit with something is on your mind. Something is on your mind. We find that an empirically equivocal form of saying something is on your mind. Why wouldn't it be in your mind? That's because it's on your mind, meaning that it's navigatable through a labyrinth. You're on the journey. You're on the road. It's on your mind. But you certainly could be in the labyrinth, could you not?
Yes, if you mean that, just like a little boat you're floating.
Well, they say that. Whatever floats your boat. Yeah, that's exactly correct. Yeah. And that's the way that the humans embrace this tactile. There's many. It's not just a river. It's not just a stream. It's more like a raging torrent. And everything is ever so dramatic and ever so nuclear, on the verge of implosion. And that's a dynamic. That's why things are on your mind. You can't get something out of your head, but off your mind.
The mind is a torrent, but it's a flow. It's probably got the four elements in it, earth, air, fire, and water. But the stream of consciousness, the liquid, first word is finding its way, river run. So it would be on, because you're kind of floating, kind of in a boat. Anything you're thinking about on the surface.
Certainly. Ion, when you said navigatable, I thought you were going to say navigatable in terms of portaling, but then you said navigatable in the labyrinth of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mean both or just one?
You won't accept the first one, so why in the world would you embrace the transpondable parallel worldisms? You're not there.
What's the first one not embracing?
The reality of where you are within regards to the world you're in. When you want to see what's on your mind, that you got to begin at the place that you recognize. Dorothy said it best, there's no place like home. She didn't say it was good, she just said there's no place like home. We infer that it was good, but until you figure out that you're not in Kansas, you got to know what Kansas is before you start reconciling the reality that, Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. Do you see? Mm-hmm. If you can't recognize Kansas, you could be in Oz and all of Oz and not know it.
McCloy made a pun on that. He said, there's no police like Holmes. It's true, like Holmes.
This is true. Well, Watson.
Yeah, what's on?
Wax off, wax on.
So, didn't want to interrupt the flow there. This is what you were saying. We have to know where we are.
Well, they're on Mount Hood.
Where's that?
It's in Oregon.
Okay. And something is Mount Hood?
Yes, they're lost. Well, they've actually transitioned.
Right now? Somebody happened right there?
Well, they've been looking for them for several moons, and the storms come, and place 2 feet of snow on top of what they call a snow cave.
You bring you say metaphorically people are up in Mount Hood?
No, that's the news, your meme of the day that they're wanting to know about, and they are transitioned on Mount Hood.
So they are looking for missing people, and they've been looking for several months?
Man and a woman. No, a week.
A week, okay. And so it's been on the news, and you know they've transitioned, but the people don't know whether they're going to give up their search because it's too snowy?
They don't give up. They just had to give up for right now because they'd be lost themselves.
Tell us about those two people.
There were three. One they found already, the male and the female they're looking for, and they moved further up. They're not new to this. It's amazing that you turn into private mountain climbers in winter time and not be bothered with putting a GPS device on your personage. That seems silly to us, but I guess if you don't want to be found, it doesn't make any difference. I guess it's all very relative, though.
So this was a suicide?
No. It was a, well, yes, but not when they woke up that morning to go on a hike.
They got suicidal later?
No, Bob, they got crossways of where they were. The distance between them and them got so far that it turned into the fastest path to their joy.
Well, how did they get caught?
How do you navigate the portals of your mind, Bob?
I do it, but...
I understand, but see, we could explain that, but that wouldn't help you. That's not the question.
But every death is suicide, so now you're saying there's a qualifier.
No, we're saying that the qualifier took place on the journey, not before they left. It wasn't a destination event. It was on their journey, and when one of their comrades slipped, fell, and deceased, it brought home that whole reality, and then it dawned on them that they could enjoy immortality themselves into their immortality. So in their ability or capacity to dig in, to recoup, they found themselves on the thread of a pretty nasty nor'easter.
They could have left and gone down. They didn't react to their friend's death that way.
No, they were figuring they would come and somebody would find them.
The person who died is the first person that they've already found.
Yes, correct.
And that person, did they commit suicide?
Well, they slipped and fell, and yes. Rather than make it, it was easier for them to slip away into their non-physicalness.
And how old were they?
Late 20s, early 30s.
So that person decided to slip away because he was hurt and thought he'd be injured for a long time in his life?
No, he knew he would drag down the team to such a degree that they may not make it if he didn't get out of the way. You humans, you have this philosophy, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Well, and you do.
And so, yeah, so he kind of martyred himself.
Well, it just became the fastest path to his joy.
Yeah.
People get so tangled up with this problem that death is an issue. Well, number one, there's not any of it. And number two is they get all upset about it, and we don't understand it because it's what put the E in eternity. It's no different that, okay, it's lunchtime. Okay, time to eat. Okay, eat. Well, there's that time problem, you see. Oh, I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat something, so it's time to eat, so I'm going to eat. Well, you don't get excited and have a wake and cry and get all weird and question your steps of your pathway of the, like the sands of the hourglass. These are the days of our lives. It's not like that. You attach that to it as a human creator, but they train the individuals once you get to that place where there is no time, then you go, oh, okay, I was just hungry. No problem. I'll have a bite. No problem. I'll transition. It's just not a problem.
So the other two, he died in their presence, he or she died in their presence.
Well, they weren't necessarily qualifyingly certain, but they calculated as much.
They then left to go home?
Nope, they went on up the hill.
To keep climbing just to finish their task?
That's correct.
And they would be
fell down and broke his crown. Gail was soon to follow.
Did they get into any suicidal motif when the storm came on?
No, no. It was just a process, and then they decided it was easier to transition. And in that elemental position of choice, their own choice, in that elemental transition of choice, it was easier to choose that than to proceed in this path that they were in. The storm seemed bigger than they were.
Did they die peacefully, or did they die?
Didn't even know it came. They dug into what they call a sand cave and didn't even know it.
They fell asleep?
Sure.
Were they resisting falling asleep?
No. No, it became very smooth and easy. It was just dramaless. The good ones are dramaless.
They didn't say goodbye to each other.
They just went to sleep. You don't say goodbye, you say goodnight. Goodbye, Connie. It was been fun. You know, you don't. You just say goodnight. Like, rest well.
And they were in a snow cave. They ate?
Mm-hmm. You dig them.
So they assumed that they could make it.
They did.
Yeah, they made it. A little topic that comes to mind. We had these huge waves here in Hawaii. Could Ion go into the state of mind of these people? How they go down these huge waves? It probably is like a billionaire makes a billion each day. It's no big deal. But try to give us the experience of what they feel when they're zooming down the wave.
Bliss. They are conquering something they know is more powerful than they are, but it's not because they conquer it. One whip in that 50-foot well, 20-foot well, 30-foot well, you can't even measure your genitalia. How are you going to measure a wave? But anyhow, the moral is that you conquer something more massive than you. It's like Mount Hood. How do you conquer a Mount Hood?
When they're zooming down and they fall off the board and the huge wave comes crashing down and they're down there for a couple minutes, how do they hold their breath? What's that experience like?
You don't hold your breath. You can't. The pressure is so great from the wave. It's the fall, you know, makes you gasp. So that's natural.
Makes you dead.
It's like when you're falling, you know, it catches your breath. You've heard of something catches you. It catches your breath. And then the force, the huge wave crashing that they're into. Because, see, they're in before it crashes. But once that wave comes crashing down, it forces, like a billow, it forces the air out of the billow of the lungs. They have no choice.
And no choice but to what?
Exhale.
They exhale. How do they survive for a minute or two with no intake?
They don't.
Well, no, they do. They survive.
Well, then all the air is not billowed out of their billow.
I understand they train to hold their breath for 4 minutes and stuff like that.
It's not necessarily to hold it. It's the building up the pressure. It's not about holding your breath. It's about building the pressure wall. The bronchia, or bronchi, let's be type specific, can go with that excess oxygen that's built up. But it's the pressure that comes along that allows them to lose the air and then get back up from under the wave. So they can get air, because otherwise they find them with their lungs filled with seawater. Because when you push and make a vacuum, compress all the air out of your system, it's going to pull back in. Well, if you're in the water, it's going to fill with water. That's the issue. It has nothing to do with holding your breath. It has to do with holding the pressure out and not sucking it back in because all your air has been pushed out.
Well, that's what I mean. When you're underwater, you don't suck in because the water will come in.
I know, but you can't help that when you press it all out, when the pressure of the wave forces it all out. They try to hold it in.
So you don't hold air in, you hold water out. You hold it away from coming in.
That's exactly correct, because there's no way, it's impossibility. It's like the bins, you know, when you're too fast. The air gets caught with the carbon dioxide, and it bubbles into your veins, and it's very, 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 very painful. Well, it's similar to that, but only happens in a split second. So it's all forced out because of the blunt force of the wave of the water, equalized immediately. But when you force it all out, then it immediately pushes back in and goes and fills the cavity always the same. The same thing would be true if you punctured a lung or if a lung collapsed. You have no way to make air, meaning you can't reinflate the lung, you see. You vapor locked the pump.
When's that happen?
When the wave brushes all the air out of you.
You fall off your board as the board's going down and you haven't hit the bottom of the wave, then you smash into the bottom of the trough and then the white water of the top of the wave comes down on top of you. Is that white water or cresting thing comes down on you that pushes the air up?
That's a good way to describe it. It's actually the downward motion of the wave equalizing, which forces down on top of you. Then you have the negative, or what you call the riptide, pulled back. Well, see, and it's whipping you back, and that's in that collapsed pressure.
You hit the thing as you're sucked back up?
Yes, very good. And then it pulls you back, and if you can get back to the top, then you can draw air. But if you don't, then it quickly equalizes, except with air, it fills with water.
When you go down and you go into the bottom of the trough, you go under the trough, and then that sucks you back up, and then more water is coming down on you.
Correct. Pressure forces the air out. And if you can get to the back to the top or get to air when that equalizes, no problem. The difference would be like letting the air out of a balloon or letting the air out of the balloon with a pin.
You're down there, and the water's crushing you, moving around. The air's out, so you have to hold your mouth muscle real tight, and you have to live with the no air because you want to breathe in. Do you have to stay down for a minute or two?
Depends.
You can pop up.
Yes. It's your buoyancy. Your buoyancy has a great deal to do with the salination of the water.
The buoyancy has a lot to do with the salination.
Saltiness of the water.
Yeah. And your buoyancy has a lot in relation to it.
That's correct.
Different bodies will respond to the salination differently.
Correct. The same way your test tells what percent of body fat you have.
Oh, yeah, let's not go into that. Did you hear that session, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't make any sense.
Well, since you asked, we
no, no, no. I didn't ask. I'm trying
to. We were being a bit cheeky. You're tapped in. The ESP folks are laughing because they got it.
They don't know. You're just rubbing it in.
They knew.
They got ESP. They know everything.
The second you had that little pause, I was like, let's don't go to that. You spilled the beans. Every bit of it, Bob.
Well, what I've heard about this big wave phenomenon is if someone's under the water, they kind of don't know which way is up.
Divers have that same phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And they call it something, but they keep changing what they call it. So it's almost like you're upside down in your mind and you're fighting to swim up to the top, which actually is to the bottom.
And now I've got something here that says the average human can hold their breath 25 to 40 seconds. But some people with heart disease or slow heartbeats can hold their breath 5 to 6 minutes.
Right.
Whoa.
Their pressure is lower. See their pressurization lower?
Mm-hmm.
Their pressure is lower. They actually don't have to reoxygenate the blood as quickly.
Well, if you have a slow heart rate, then it's like your body has adapted to not receiving blood so fast and blah, blah, blah.
Houdini did that in his water.
Oh, right.
What did he do, Karen?
He was able to hold his breath for a long time.
Because he had this heart problem?
No, he just trained himself. When Carolyn has that bit of tachycardia, or she did, she would notice it, and she could get so good at that she could speed it up or slow it down at will.
I could, yeah. I'd breathe and hold my breath, actually, and
so
change it.
Why did you bring up Houdini? He just can hold his breath underwater.
No, he learned how to slow his heart rate down, and it was a practice thing so he could be extending unity. energy getting out of the straitjacket under the ocean or in the big tub of water and it's locked up and everybody's cringing because they know they can't hold their breath that long. And he slips his joints out of socket so he can get out of the straitjacket. And meanwhile, he's spitting out a key to the locks and to the handcuffs and all that kind of business. Be able to navigate, and it's just a practiced art.
Was it the magic part that he had the key in his mouth? Was that was the secret part, Carol?
Well, he'd spit it up. He'd actually swallow it.
So people couldn't believe how he could get out with locks, but he had swallowed the key, and that was not known, supposedly.
At the time. And like they'd check him and inspect him, and like he'd kiss his wife before he'd leave. Well, of course, she'd then pass the key. And it was a bit of trickery, but then there was a great deal of skill. They'd say the same thing about somebody running a 4-minute mile.
That's how Finnegan's Wake ends, or the last page has the famous theatrical scene where some lover gives her lover who's in jail, slips him the key through the kiss. The keys to Given, that's the last line of Finnegan's Wake. I didn't know Houdini did that with his wife. Oh, conspirator. Did he learn to slow down his heart by doing yoga?
No, there wasn't such a big known meme of the day. He learned that he could master all the functions, biological and otherwise, all the functions of his body. Some would call that a type or degree of ascension, but he never gave it that much attention. He kept it a simpler, well, no, this is just how I regulate my body. Then it's because somebody said it's mind over matter. Okay. So then I guess it's non-physical over antimatter.
Mm.
That's true. That's a handful. Yes, you'll play with that another day. The fun of that is that you have the capacity to redefine yourself. And that's where we're to. The questions are raging, Bob. We have to give a shout out to all of our staff that are just absolutely bubbling over. And we would give the parallel for the pictorial of taking baking soda or bicarbonate of soda and mixing it with vinegar. That thing is just profuse, and it says it's about 1,000 times more than itself. Here's the bubbling that's coming. Yes, the question is, if all that is true, what we just said, if it's recognized or acceptable as a truth that we hold self-evident, then therefore can the human, individual human, change their physicality completely? And we say absolutely you can.
That means change the way your face looks?
Everything. The way your body works. The bad organs can get replaced with good organs. The bad blood can get given back with good blood. The hair follicles that fall out can grow back. Every dynamic of your body you can recreate. You have the power within your individual cells to control every nuance and aspect of your being completely.
That seems to be a long task.
It's instantaneous. It can be. If you have time, yeah, it can be. But if you don't have time, then yeah, it can be done while you wait. It's instant, Bob. That's what you Americans love. It's instant gratification.
So, Carolyn, you can go into that topic a bit if you want to.
Well, it was wide open. I mean, it was more answering for what everybody was asking of. So you mean you can catch cancer instantly on the negative side, if you call that negative? And we say yes. You can die of cancer very quickly if you want to. You have these cells, and all of a sudden you activate them, and bam, then it's stage 4, and then it's call the coroner. It's almost over. So that's the negative side of proving the point. Now let's go back and go to the other can affect his blood pressure to such a degree, like if he goes for a checkup or a, you know, where they drag his meat sack in so they can poke at him a bit to make sure to validate that he is indeed okay, which is silly, but he certainly can. He focuses on his pressure of his blood, and he has great fun playing with them. He'll say, it'll be 117 over 78. And they look at him like he's lost his mind. And they check it, and they listen, and they go, And then they do it by hand, because the machine said what he said. Then they do it by hand, and it's the same. And they say, how would you necessarily know that? And he says, oh, that's just what it is. And then he's done it again 10 minutes later in the conversation. Would you like to try it again? Would you like to go for 120 over 80? And they go, yes, we'd like to go for 120 over 80. They hook him up and they pump, 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 pump. And they're very careful. They even really listen. You know how they take the stethoscope and listen. All of a sudden, and it comes out exactly that way. He can feel those beats. And then it's 120 over 80. And then there are guests. They say, well, which one do we write down? And we say, well, would you like to go for double or nothing? Which one would you prefer? You know? But it's just that it's not a big deal. Well, if you had hypertension and had that ability, then you certainly could correct that instantaneously now, couldn't you? Well, there's no difference, you see. There is no difference. They judge your hypertension by your high blood pressure because your systolic and diastolic get out of whack. Well, if you could bring them right back where they're supposed to be, they wouldn't have to give you the Lipitor, would they?
Yeah, everything is under our control. I guess that's just that most people, their minds won't let them believe how much control they have.
And they're judged by what the doctor or nurse or whomever says what it is. They have to bring it to your attention of what is before it's out of whack. And once it's out of whack, then you're disconnected. Well, you weren't until they told you.
Right.
And you go, wait, this is vibrational. This has nothing to do with your sphenometer. It's what we have fun calling the sphenometer. We're talking about the blood pressure calculating gauge. The sphenometer is up to the spinner, I guess. So that dynamic is a simple, easy one. You can do the same thing with the temperature. You can control the temperature. You can make yourself cold, make yourself hot. You can do that. You absolutely have control of that. And that's not over a long time. It's instant. Now, you may say it takes many moons to figure it out, and we say, okay, you can never accomplish it if it's your desire, but it's just as easy. Tell a cell, relax, allow, let non-physical help you with the recreation of cellular structure that everybody gets hooed up about growing bones, and we speak of it as that it already is. Well, guess what? It is. No, we've got you now, Lion. You can't do that. You might be able to stop blood or this and that or put a tourniquet around your neck. We're not a big proponent of that, but you can do it. But if somebody chops off your arm, you can't regrow bone. And we say, yes, hell, you can. You absolutely can. Your cell is to be whole. Your magical beingness is that you be well, healthy, whole within your mind, within your body, within your non-physical. Or you could say your spirit. And anytime you're less than that, it's up to you. You got yourself there, period. Every single time without fail or exception. There's not one thing any other human can do to you to put you into that position. Even if they take a chainsaw and lop your arm off, it's not their problem. It's your reality.
Ion can see the whole range and spans of human experience, what is done, what was done, what will be done. And there were periods in human experience where people didn't have descriptions like we have today. didn't have limitations with their body, and they could grow their arm back and might not even notice it.
That's exactly correct.
And so Ion, when he answers the question, he's talking about, oh, you guys over the last 3,000 years can't do it.
Oh, it's not that long, Bob. You can bless the Gutenbergs that put it on a press and typeset that that's an impossibility.
A range of time, you know, the Gutenberg press period, when people learned it couldn't be done. But I was looking at thousands of years or spanses or stacked up now. Hold it, stacked up now where humans could do it. So today, a person in 2009 said, that's crazy, you can't do that. And they're speaking from a little range of experience they got in the 20th century. And I am speaking from the whole realm, and you could say, well, maybe we can do that in the future. I am speaking from the future. No, it happened in our, quote, past.
That's exactly correct. And then science gets to playing with it, and they can't disprove that you can, so then you find the ability. I mean, they go, it's a breakthrough, it's a miracle, it undoes all that is. No, it brought you back to all that was. Now, if that's not a Finneganese, we don't know any.
Now, these people, hearing you say it, can you give them a few? I know the answer is always relax and allow.
Not necessary. Sometimes it's give it your undivided attention and focus on it. Your mother said it has to hurt if it's going to heal. Okay, you embrace that, then there's your sign.
There's your rules.
You can bank on that one. It will be your reality. And sometimes it's so overwhelming that you can't go beyond that place of allowing. Okay, you have to sort of clench it up, tighten it up. Let's say your bladder's full and you got to go to the bathroom. Well, you have an urge to go to the bathroom, okay? You have excess urine. You want to empty your bladder. You tighten that down to the point so you don't have an accident. That's a control thing. Well, you say, well, just relax and allow, and you won't wet yourself. Well, sneeze and try that. or listen to somebody cracking a really good joke and try that. It ain't happening. Yeah, you'll relax and allow, but you'll wet yourself. So there is the dynamic of this cross-training element. We can't just say relax and allow in this particular dynamic, because sometimes it's that the evolutionary process that makes the embryo come out of the shell. Well, that's not relax and allow. It would lay there and rot. There is that place of activating. But now we say never take action until you have answered the question if it's the fastest or not the fastest path to your joy. Well, once you've answered the question, then you can take action, and when you swing the hammer and strike, it'll hit the nail on the head every time. You'll drive the point home. But that's action. That's not relaxing, allowing. That's fire the gun. That's get the take. That's blow up the C4. That's crank up the nano speedometers of life. That's going to be fun. You'll enjoy that later, but
we're going to enjoy that word, nanometers.
Nanometers, yes. Nanometry. You might better trademark that before somebody gets a hold of it, Bob.
How do we do that?
Too late. It's already gone. Everybody's got it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I just told everybody.
That's right. Well, that's what non-physical's for. We're just here to give a hand, Bob. That's all. Don't mind us. We're just watching you create. It's okay.
Yeah, Bob. This is going to happen with or without you, so it doesn't matter. Even if
in spite of you. Yes, Bob. In spite of you. Despite you. To spite Bob. They do it to spite Bob. That's it. And the only problem is when they try to get him hemmed up, he gets into the place. This is Bob. Bob gets in the place. He's like, you know, I didn't even notice. Congratulations. You win. I wasn't even playing. You crossed the finish line. Were we racing? I didn't notice, but I'm good. Thanks for the fish.
Yeah, that'll be the first scandal in the Ion Church when Bob Nevert steps down. He's been removed from CEO position and threatens to tell all.
And he he's already ready for the press conference. It's like, I retreat. I'm going to retreat back to my place of knowingness. There you go.
Listening to Ion, regularly listen to Ion, that helps you relax or add on to your rules.
Well, hopefully, it starts letting you think about all these stacked up false premises that they tell you and you embrace that you have to be judged by. If you start counting them as false premises, then you take some of the heat out of the fire. And once you start taking the heat out of the fire, just like the shaman, and they don't have to be shaman, that's just what you know, so that's the example we'll use till you can get a better word, we'll use your words. People can take off their shoes and walk across burning hot red coals. Oh, they just have really thick calluses on their feet. Okay, they can lay down and roll through the coals. Once you take the heat out of the fire, guess what? It doesn't burn. Oh, Connie, Bob's rolling now when he starts, he's kind of coming on. Well, but yet you get on your chip box. Get on your chip box where the money checks fall out of. Get on that chip box and look it up. They'll show you footage line by line. They take off their shoes, their sandals, their whatever. It's a fire. It's just rolling coals. It roasts your hot dogs and your marshmallows and all kinds of things on it. It's a hot fire. And they just take and they quiet themselves, sort of like get glassy-eyed, and then they start walking. And they don't run. They just easily go through the coals. Now, there are coals everywhere. I don't know how they're missing the hot ones, but somehow it doesn't burn their flesh off the meat off their feet.
That's Tony Robbins' world.
Great world.
So back to the surfers. I'm interested in the psyche. It's so fascinating to watch these guys go down the mountain of water. And so they get under. We set up this YouTube a news story from last week showing the waves, probably in Oahu. I don't think they were Maui. I think it was the other side. You had them on your other side. Yeah, we had them, but the footage was
Honolulu. Yeah, that's correct. That's the shore. It's the where the wind blows to, Bob, not from.
Yeah, the body index is huge over there.
Gosh, the rhetoric rolls this evening.
I think I could get on squid billies.
Probably.
Well, just start talking and just write down what I'm saying. It was not so garbled.
You go, Sheriff. You'll be all right.
Okay, so we saw a lot of people surfing the waves, a lot of people falling off. Did anybody die?
There's no death, Bob.
These guys can stay underwater, and they don't actually stay under that long.
That's right.
So it's not true that you got to be able to stay down for 4 minutes.
No. Your natural buoyancy, especially if the saltier the water, the more buoyancy you naturally have.
Out here in Hawaii, it's the salty water makes it even more ideal for surfing.
Well, we talked about that right at the beginning, that you just can't drown here. You can't sink.
But if all your air's forced out, and then you've made a vacuum where it's going to fill quickly, and it's with water, yikes. If the wave forces all the wind out of you, you create a vacuum within the body.
That's to your advantage to form a vacuum, right?
Well, unless the vacuum is equalized with salt water, then it's not so good.
Equalize.
If you suck in water.
Well, you don't suck in water. With all the air forced out of you, then it creates a vacuum within your lungs. So when that vacuum makes a pressure and it will force water, or you hope air back in if you've made it back to the top, but if not, it will force water into the negative compression that's made from the same wave that forced the air out of you.
So at that point, it sounds like you are at a great disadvantage that all the air's gone out. You got a vacuum which needs to be filled, and that would help the water to burst in.
Yes. Would you like to know how that feels? You've heard of someone say that they had the breath knocked out of them. May have had that experience yourself. Like you get the breath knocked out of you. It gets it off, so you're like drowning in your own air.
Yeah, you can't breathe or something.
No, you can breathe. You can't get your breath. you, and then what's replaced is the fluid, and it's the aspect of drowning, but it's, the feeling would be like when you get a bolt or a jump or something or a hit and they like, knock the breath out of you. Well, that's the same thing, that forcing that air out, and then it just can't replace itself because that feeling of can't catch your breath. Sometimes your COPD folks feel that way as well, but now that's a much toned down version of the whole process, but that's a dynamic of it.
So every time these guys get whacked off the board, get whacked by the wave, they go through this uncomfortable feeling of not
able to catch their breath. You learn. If you get crunched by the wave, what you do is you don't just fall. You notice and watch them as they're catching the wave. They've got to catch the wave. Mm-hmm. And once it gets outside of them, they don't go forward toward the beach. They immediately start fighting toward the wave. Because if they can get into the wave, then they don't have all that pressure falling on them. So they're actually beyond it.
You tell me when they fall off the board.
Yeah, they start trying to go back out into the ocean. Rather
by than, swimming? Like,
yeah, they for you know, they jump
themselves back into the wave.
Well, we never see them. They disappear under the white water. You ever see any of those guys pop up? Maybe because the camera moves. But
well,
you never see
no.
But they do pop up, Carol, and the wave is still coming, and they swim through the wave?
Yeah, they
no.
go backwards.
They go backwards. They try to fight backwards. You don't have to go see it on your plastic box. Go to where the waves are. Go to Lahaina and sit and watch them. When they crash or lose their wave, they try to catch the wave, you know, to ride it. And if they lose it or the board gets out from under them when the wave is coming one side or the other, they'll almost dive into the wave itself. Because otherwise they're going to fall because they're way high up because it's a tall wave. Then the entire wave is going to hit them and force their air out. But if they're pushing themselves back into the wave, then they only have maybe 5 feet of water that's between them that's going to ride them on through. Well, then they're on the backside of the wave as quickly as they can, so then they don't have all that pressurization process and 50 feet of water to have to come back through. Because it's not a 50-foot wave after it crashes. It dissipates almost instantly, does it not? And then the riptide sea sucks it back. So they want to be, like if you're out in the water, just like near playing, and a wave comes in, and you're out in it before it breaks, basically it just bobs you up, and then it bobs you back down. It's no big deal. But if you get down there where Carolyn stays, the wave's crashing, and it'll tear you all to pieces. Because it's the dissipation of all that pressure. But if you're out far enough, then that you can just sort of bob, you can feel that wisp of picking you up and dropping you back off. But it doesn't even have to take you under the water because you're back far enough that you're just having the displacement. Well, the same way if you're trying to catch a wave and you fall off your board and you dive into it, then you're going behind the wave. You know, Bob, when it picks you up and then drops you, it's almost nothingness. The same way, if you fall off your board, you dive, try to go back out to sea as quick as you can. So then you don't have the full 50 feet of wave to fall on you. If you're at the top of the wave and you lose your footing, and if you dive in, it may only be 5 feet of water. Because, see, now you're all automatically closer to behind the force of the equalization of the wave crashing back into the surf.
Sometimes if you go over the other side of the wave, the back, you can be dragged down with it.
You do. That's the riptide. But that's okay because it's not a negative pressure. See, all the air's not been forced out of your being.
Yeah, you're on top of it. You're going down
yes,
on top.
And when it drags you down, then you hold your breath.
Oh.
That side. If you can do it that way, then you hold your breath, and then it's no problem. No problem in being okay. Because, see, there's no pressure with it. It's just a matter of you keeping yourself as you get sort of, you know, dragged under a little bit. Like, that's just like the natural way of holding the air in your lungs until you can get back up, you know, where you get a breath.
So living, and like every 6 months you look back on your life, that's
China.
Not the same thing as looking back from your end point.
Correct. You're judging your being point from what you've lived. But if you're looking from the end backward, all of a sudden it's a very different conversation. then you're looking because you already know. And you're not tangled up by or disturbed by or protracted by or have a negative inertia regarding, if I make this choice, this is going to happen to me. Do you think all these people that are doing these naked YouTubes that become famous and then get judged? Who is your Mark Phelps,
Michael Phelps or something?
Mm.
Well, he then inhaled the marijuana. And 20 years ago or a long time ago, when he was in school, for Pete's sake, you think it's sort of out of his system after this many years, don't you? And somebody had a little thing and they take a little snap of it and then all of a sudden he's a dopey and they question his metals and all this other kind of business. Well, for Jiminy Crack, you think if he'd have known that if he was going to imbibe in any type of hallucinogenic that you would want it not to be photographed or filmed or whatever. So then you come into a place where you're Tiger Woods and you're going to be for God and country and golf, and then you realize that you've actually had relations all over the place. After a little while, 2.3 seconds, it's like, well, why wouldn't you just go ahead and say, day after it happened, yes, I have slept with everybody. There's nobody I haven't slept with. There's a few I hadn't gotten to yet, but please be patient. I'm on tour. I will get to you as soon as I can. And so all you young, blonde, white women, you just get in line, because I will be by, and I will be making an appointment, and we'll have much tweeting to do. Well, if you did it that way, everybody would go, you know what, I don't know who he thinks he is, but he is the best thing going, that everybody wants to have relations with him. So much so that he's had, supposedly had all these relations with all these people, and they're so embarrassed about this process, they're coming forth to be on TMZ to talk about their relations with Tiger Woods.
I mean, they're not embarrassed.
Well, no, they are embarrassed. They're ruining their lives worse than his is already. They just want their 5 minutes. They want their 5 minutes.
They don't know they're ruining their lives, then.
Yes, if they knew from the end looking back that this is probably not the wisest move that you'd want to take in this particular genre that you're embracing at this moment in time. Joy on the View is not, they're not going to be kind to you when you go in to have to talk about what you know about the genitalia of Tiger Woods. They're not going to be genteel with you.
I was right up with it. I wouldn't know what you're referring to, but I was actually looking at TMZ the last couple of days before I went to the beach, and a lot of these misses are running around in New York City and being hounded by the reporters and hiding in their front door and running here. But they actually showed Joy Behar apologizing for something she said. So Ion was up on that.
Yes.
So you're saying these young kids on the porn sites, there's lots of people on the porn sites just allowing themselves to be filmed. It's like they're not even professionals.
Well, it's not even porn sites, Bob. It's just that they're sending these things all over the place. It's not just like porn, it's a site. It's like they'll put naked stuff on their own tweeting Facebooks.
So these kids are getting so involved in the now, because there's so much to engage in the now to distract them, they have no sense of what they will be and what their position is in 20 years. They don't think that way. But you're saying that they will be suffer for that.
No, I'm saying if they would look at their lives from the end back, they wouldn't have so much devil. It wouldn't be so much devil mutt. They would make different choices because they'd go, now, wait a second. I'm fixing to engage in intercourse with a dog. Now, I don't know. I have a really strange attraction to the sleeping with this beast. And so I'm going to have engagement with this beast, and that's called bestiality. That sounds like a really fun thing. I don't know how to work out. I'm not sure, and I don't know if I like it or not because I haven't done it before, but I've just sort of thought about it. Okay, get the camera, and then I'll be able to tell whether or not I enjoyed having intercourse with a beast. And then the next thing you know, whether you enjoy it or not or take it on as a pastime, don't you worry. It'll come right back around. And then you become some governor's wife or husband or whatever. And then they say, well, now tell us about your place on bestiality. I did not have sex with that dog. And then they roll the tape. News footage at 11. You know, and it's just mindless. The trans
transgression is not that you engage. The transgression is that you don't have sense enough to keep it from being recordable.
The young kids have come into this world, and they're going to destroy this whole concern about privacy. They're allowing themselves to be photographed, because overall they want to overcome the concern about it.
Well, yeah. It's so much so now to it. You got to sleep with 30 or 40 people and be a big deal before it matters. Used to, if you even looked at someone else, that was, you know, idolatry. Now, if you just sleep with 5 or 6, that's no big deal.
Is there a conspiracy or a war on the meme of respectability or old-fashioned?
Respectability? What does that mean?
No, generation,
what does that mean? We don't know what that means anymore.
That's what I mean, because it's just young generation. I'm making sure that is not a measure of the rules anymore. They're all going to grow up and all have done it and film themselves, and it's just like the baby boomers. They take over now, marijuana becomes legalized. But when these kids, when they're adults in 40s and 50s, they won't care that this footage has them, and society won't be concerned, and wouldn't that be a better situation?
If they all embrace it, yes. But see, it was just as radical to burn your brassiere during the 60s, you know, and you run around with photographs and flower children and free love. And we're not against that, by the way. But the whole point is, it's just in its day, that was just radical, the very idea. So much so that now all of a sudden they go, hey, it was the 60s. It was okay. It's what we did.
Yeah, we weren't as bad as these kids. They're too radical.
Well, but that's what they said, you know, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That was the end of the world as we know it. But
right. Yeah, but nobody taped themselves. This generation is more radical. They tape themselves doing it. So does Ion see that these privacy issues will totally go away because of what this generation is doing?
You're acknowledging that there is indeed a veil of privacy now?
You're saying that these kids are going to be in trouble in 20 years when they're governed.
No. They're going to learn at some stage or point that if they're going to engage in something, whatever it is, that is their pleasure or delight, they should be able to do it without having empirical referenced evidence regarding it.
No, everybody's going to want to have their tapes available. You're saying it'll be a problem in 10, 15 years when she becomes the governor's wife. But this generation, it won't matter. Or why, if it will still matter?
It doesn't have to matter. It's just that it's more important to have the footage than it is to take part of the act.
Oh, then now you get Bob and McLuhan. The old joke, McLuhan said that the neighbor comes in and looks at the new baby and says, oh, what a beautiful baby. And the mom says, that's nothing. You see her photograph. It's more important. That's what you're complaining about, that they're doing this. But, yeah, they want to see what they look like. So that's the chip body subsuming the discretions of the chemical body.
And what it's doing, though, is it's demystifying everything.
John Bodger, a student of McLuhan, wrote a lot about that. The excessive revealing of everything creates a massive identity crisis for people.
It does. And so now you have to be so radical that you have to do things you wouldn't even think of doing to even get noticed to see if you were a good boy or a bad boy in the process, and then judge you accordingly.
And it's just getting beyond the barrier, and then that actually flips into what you celebrate. People are going to say, I don't care what's going on. I don't care what the standards are. I'm not living up to any standards. I'm just doing what I want to do, and I'm not going to be guided by any external message.
Pretty much. It's like I'm going to grope a male musician and kiss another one. And don't you have a problem? You can't decide which way you're going here? Nope, I didn't notice. I didn't care. I was having fun. Would you do it again if I get offered the chance? Yeah. That's your idol.
The American Idol show? Is that what you're referring to? Yeah.
Well, your second, your runner-up.
Oh, yeah, that guy, right. He did the video and then did the show and then he couldn't get on Good Morning America. Yeah, Adam somebody.
Oh, that's a blessing, though, but yeah.
A blessing that he didn't get on Good Morning America?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's a boring show?
Yeah, who watches that? We're being cheeky, but
there's a new show, a reality show called Jersey Show, and they say it's a bunch of Guidos, these young kids, acting their stupid South Shore of Jersey lives, crude lives, rough lives.
Bob, it's called Joyzy. South Joyzy.
They went to an L.A. restaurant or club, and they just had their first show, and they were kind of kicked out. They're so crude. Is that show going to become big? Give us a little rundown.
Everything is reality. And the problem with it is what they're presenting as reality is so far from reality that it's gibberish. And then you make fun of non-physical when we speak in the language of the angels. You have problem with that. You have problem with understanding there's a non-physical. But you then follow John and Kate and Eight and John 8, Kate. And it goes on and on and on until that's not real. And it's the reality show. It should be surreality. Because, well, that's not real. That is not reality. But they are presenting it as reality, so now it's got to be a reality show. Even your Jackson brothers, they took off work from the laundromat in the supermarket, and they've even made a reality show.
Yeah, I saw that. Did you see that, Carol? They're crying, pretending they're crying over Michael, pretending he's dead. Do they know that he's not dead?
We don't know what they know. We don't know that they knew he was alive. They certainly weren't eating Kentucky Fried Chicken over at Michael's house to be so verklempt that he is now no longer with them. They were having conversation in life. They were probably having more conversation in his, what they call his death, than they ever did in his life.
I thought they were making an album, but you're saying they're taping it. It's a reality show as they try to make the album. That's a reality show?
That's what the reality show is about, is them trying to make an album.
Yeah, they have fights. They get into arguments. Okay.
And we don't know who they got to play Tito, because we're sure they scrapped him years ago for parts.
Is Tito a brother?
Yes.
And Tito is in there today?
Yes.
And they don't know where they got him because they scrapped him for parts.
Right.
You mean he tested up from down?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
Well, they had to get all those extra body parts from somewhere, Bob. They kept sawing them off, and they had to have good DNA to come from. So,
yeah.
Certainly we're going to cut them off Jermaine, so what's he going to do?
I just read a little blurb. I didn't even know. I said, what is Jersey Shore? I look it up, and it says, the men run around doing push-ups or lifting themselves on the ceiling and hoiking up their muscles, and the couples beat each other up. They go at each other, the men. Now, let's assume that's going to be on the show. That is not actually how South Jersey people live.
Well, that's what reality is, so therefore they should be acting that way.
So you're saying they exaggerate themselves in the reality TV format?
Of course, to make it surreal. It should be surreality. If you really want to have a top show, this is surreality. This is so real, it's silly. Well, if they showed what really, 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 really was real, everybody would go, that's the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my life. This sucks.
Yeah, okay.
I'm so glad I'm not them. Okay.
The reason reality shows have taken over, and as James would report, the actors are beside themselves because they can't get gigs.
Beside themselves.
Yeah,
yes,
beside,
that's true.
They train to be actors. And now you don't have to have that kind of training to get a big show. You just have to be an idiot and walk on and engage in reality TV. So I'm thinking we got four bodies. Before we had the TV in these chip bodies, people went to the theater and they watched human beings, a chemical body, put on a mask. Nowadays, since we have chip bodies and they're more real than our physical body, the physical body in itself is a mask covering up your chip body, so that's why people don't need to act. They just have to show up as a chemical body and be filmed, and that's a mask, rather than acting a mask.
Yes, and what's amazing about it is they don't win. Used to, if you went into a talent show, you had to win to get press. Now you get press if you lose. Adam came in second. He didn't win Idol. He was not an American Idol. And yet he's the one everybody's talking about. Nobody remembers who won. The very homely-looking lady who could sing, they've redone her and ruined her. She was beautiful in and of herself. Then they painted her up to such a degree that she's got to take on the genre of Elizabeth Taylor to be able to be recognized to sing. Well, she'll open her mouth and they'll go, who is that? That's not who we saw. They put in a double. I knew that winner. You see, I mean, it's just.
Okay, they dressed her up, made her look different. I didn't know that.
Correct. Well, you won't recognize her.
And the guy who came in second, he gets all the news.
Who won American Idol? Nobody knows. They got the record contract.
So reality TV is surreal TV. Surreal TV. Nobody's calling it that. Very good, Ion. It's surreal TV.
And that dynamic, then, see, they can get lost in that body because then they don't have to deal with their own.
They get lost in the TV image of themselves. Is that what you mean?
No, they get lost in the reality business, so much so that the surreality can then replace their unreality.
And the Susan Boyle Special Breaks TV Guide Network ratings records. She was the most watched broadcast ever.
Oh, so she's doing okay.
Well, yes, but you don't recognize her as her.
What's it matter?
Doesn't matter, but it only works if you can get a good mask. What was wrong with her the way she was?
Okay. Look how she looks now.
Did they do facial surgery on her or something? So she's back. So she's recovered. See, Ion, you left me that she'd ruined it. No, she's doing great.
No, we're saying that she was as good a singer as she was when she was what you call homely. And now since she's been all painted to such a degree that no one recognizes her, how can that be a dynamic of a reality? You got to be imitation to be real.
But it didn't matter unless it's going to be quick. People watch in because they're fascinated, and then maybe they don't take it serious and turn it off, Carol. You know what I mean? And they don't follow up because they...
Well, Nike sponsored Tiger because he had a great sexual prowess, right?
No, he did not do that.
Oh, well, now wait.
They did not do it for that reason.
Oh, so she won Idol because she was a beauty. No, because she was a great singer. She wanted to be a singer. She didn't want to be a bathing beauty. She didn't want to be a Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, but you're missing that dynamic. She now is changed. Is she going to do well?
If she follows her bliss of singing and doesn't get lost in the transformation of making herself unrecognizable to herself, doesn't that seem to make a great distance between you and you to the point, well, I can't sing, I don't have my hair done.
Is she a good singer?
Before, you couldn't tell if she had ever had her hair done before, and she was a fabulous singer. She walked in on stage, and everybody's going, look out, wait a minute, watch. And then she opened her mouth, and it was just like the angels singing.
It's good that she changed her look and got the top record.
That wasn't the point. It's been made to be the point, but what was wrong with her the way she was?
Well, we'll see. I don't know. Are you predicting?
Or mirrors, if you looked in them.
Here's the point. Is she going to be successful in a year or two? You know, did this ruin her career from Ion's perspective?
Not as long as she follows her joy and not get caught up in the dynamic that they're trying to create.
Well,
they didn't like her. She wasn't pretty enough.
Yeah, so is that not...
a great singer.
Okay, look, if that's it could be following her path of joy to go along with them.
And if it is, then yes, her career will be spectacular.
So we don't know yet. Ion does not know whether.
Yes, we do. But the point is as sure as we say it, then all the creators will get a hold of it, including her, and change that all around. The point is that as long as the individual human creator is coming to their power and maintain it, piece of cake, no problem. Mm-hmm. But what happens is they want fame, 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 and then they want everybody to leave them alone, 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 alone. They cross it up. You know, you want to be a star, you want to be a star, you want to be a fast, rising, shooting star, now what? Then you want to be, well, why can't I just have my privacy? Why does any of your business who I slept with and why and on and on and on and on and on? It's like, okay, I'll just stay single, then I can sleep with who I want to, but then nobody cares. Well, you know, that sucks. Okay, I got it all. I got the whole wide world, but nobody to sleep with. So that's no fun. I'll just go out and hit the little white ball. That's good enough.
I can imagine people who have dull jobs in offices and factories are looking at anybody who's famous and, boy, wouldn't that be great? I'd have all that money, and I could live and do things by myself at my own pace. I wouldn't have to go to work every day. It seems that the real reason to get a lot of money is that you have autonomy, and then you can live at your own pace. And most people think, well, then I wouldn't have to see all these jerks at work. I'd be more by myself and more free time for myself. That seems to be a big factor in becoming famous. Become famous, get a lot of money, so you can be by yourself. So you can have your own time and not be bothered by pressures of office workers and all the people you have to
I'll be my own boss.
Yeah, you'll be
I'll
your own.
When I go to bed, when I get up, I'll say how it's going to go. I'll decide how much cholesterol is okay for me. I'll say which table I sit at. I'll say where I get my reservation. I'll be the boss of me. But instead, in order to get that, typically, they forfeit every dimension to the point of then Good Morning America gets to decide if you have the scruples enough to be seen on their show.
Tiger Woods, I also caught his wife. There may be a story out, but the TMZ, you're going to get divorced. You know, they're yelling at her. She's walking to the car. So I'm assuming that she's announced she's leaving. Now, and that goes a bit against what we were saying the other day. Ryan was saying that she doesn't give a damn and she's staying with him. Has something changed? What's the update on?
She's been seen twice not wearing her ring.
Pumping gas, okay, her ring is $900,000. And she's pumping her own gas in her car. And they notice that she doesn't have her ring on while she's holding her credit card, which would be pretty unnerving because it shows the number. I'm surprised the Nigerian government hasn't got a hold of that credit card.
Right, right.
Signed them up for a large business deal that they have that they're really pining for her information regarding. We could give those numbers out, but then we'd be sued for invasion of privacy. And TMZ can put her credit card on the entire, with the TiVo that you can stop, record it right down, every dynamic down to the security code on the pack, trying to get the shot of her not wearing her large ring, pumping gas, for goodness Pete's sake.
So your point is it's an exaggeration.
If she left, she didn't go far because they were close enough to catch her pumping gas. And if as far as she was going was to pump that tank of gas, she wasn't very far from home.
So from the audience point of view, she ain't leaving yet. Your view is that the two of them are quite nonchalant about the media. They're not paying too much attention to it.
He's having to nail because, I mean, they're grinding him pretty hard.
Has his attitude changed a bit over since we last talked 5 days ago? Is he in a new place that he didn't know he'd get?
Yes, he's having to be a recluse on his pond yacht.
And what does he do while he's in reclusion? Does he read a novel? Does he watch TV? What does Tiger do in the meantime?
If you listen to TMZ, he's chasing skirts. Or trying to add more people to his entourage that he's bedded over the time.
Okay, that's TMZ. I'm asking Ion to look at what he actually is doing on the yacht. Maybe he's doing that, but what is he doing? How's he spending his time?
Just trying to let this pass. Because
yeah, but what does he do to not pay attention to it?
Nothing.
Does he read a book?
No.
Does he listen to music?
Yes.
And does he have a few friends that he can joke and talk about distracting other things, you know?
Well, we would say yes, but that's all changed and different because everybody that would come over to visit would have their own palm cam. Trying to get the newest video of Tigger trying to convince Pooh Bear that we can be go bouncy, bouncy, bouncy all the time.
So in an isolation, he's like the bubble boy. He's not going anybody in and nobody really wants to go near him because of the craziness around him.
Indeed. And see, he wasn't really sleeping with women. He was homosexual because there were three men on his boat. And we know it. And news at 11, footage at 11. We'll have the full blown. And the very idea, after they send their own insiders of trouble, that they offer $1 million U.S. with a money check. Maybe that's what they're doing with the TARP money. They're going to buy the footage of Tigger bouncing around. That's a good place for the TARP money that they're having to give back now. Isn't that interesting? That it comes into a place that they offer $1 million for footage. Well, then you got all these women. Don't you think they didn't save some DNA on a pretty blue dress somewhere? My stars.
In other words, they will be coming forward with things to be sold, to sell.
Well, it's just, I just want to go get an antimicrobial and take a bath.
There's a lot of amateurs on the porn sites.
Oh, are you aware of those, Bob?
Oh, I watch them. I enjoy them. The more amateur, the better. The thing is, it seems that people don't have, this is my theory, the chemical body is so minuscule, they don't mind having themselves taped. I mean, this even shocked James Joyce, as we found out when we talked to James months ago, the way people are today. But these people that have no self-consciousness about themselves, is that part of the thinning of the veil, Ion?
It would be the opposite effect. What they're wanting is they're wanting to be genuine. What they're wanting is to connect with their beingness, and their only place of connection is in the aberration. That's what porn is. Sex is your idea, God's idea, your God. And that delicious and wonderful expression of two people coming together, we said two people, we didn't say male, female, dogs, cats, we don't get into all that.
Two objects coming together.
Okay, yes, and if you can't figure that out, then you'd have to be known as an autosexual, so you could have sex with yourself, so
yeah.
That's okay too, I guess. But the point of that delicious engagement is perfect in and of itself. But where the aberration comes, and Larry Flint learned this very long ago,
with
that immoral majority, or minority, immoral minority, that rose him right to the crest of what you call fame. And it hadn't hurt Hugh Hefner, him 145 years old, and he's still hanging around. It hasn't cut his lifeline short,
I guess
is the right way to say it. But that dynamic of expression, nothing wrong with it. But the aberration gets so aberrated that now, if you're men folks and you're watching it and you don't have a phallus that's 9 feet long, or if you're attracted to a woman whose waistline equals the same amount as her cup size, you see, you got to have a 13-inch waist and a 50-inch bust. Well, if you really get that worked out just right, they can't walk. They're a bit top heavy, and won't hold them, or they most certainly would have Sally Field's osteoporosis because their back couldn't hold them up. They'd have to be reared back in an averted motion just to keep everything in balance, and that's supposed to be attractively wonderful. Then that puts it into a position where it's outside of what reality is. Like the models that are 7 feet tall and weigh 75 pounds. That's supposed to be alluring, and haute couture is supposed to follow that. And you're like, yes, that's the meme of the day. Great. Most American women are size 14 or better. Well, why don't they just call size 14 zero, and then they go, oh, yes, I've put a few pounds on, but I'm still in a size zero. Well, great. If that's what's important, then good. But see, if they put the real sized basic women with curves and hips and thighs and normalcy, okay, which is what most men are sleeping with, by the way, if they portrayed it that way, then I guess the flip side of that is everybody would become anorexic and get down to 675 pounds and wear great big stiletto heels and become 7 feet tall.
That would be the norm. That become the new norm.
Apparently, because they seem to run against it. They rail against whatever it is that is. That's why you ask us questions and we answer them and say, well, whichever way we say, they're going the other way. So here's what you need to know. Out of all of this, Bob, if they give an evacuation and everybody's headed out of town, our suggestion for you is get on the side of the freeway that's empty and go the other way. Whichever way everybody's going, it ain't going to work out. Go the other way. And that would hold true based on your pornography, based on what pretty or beautiful is, based on your relationships, based on fame and fortune, President of the United States. Do you understand? 228 years ago, they came up with this piece of paper. And this piece of paper said, we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union with inalienable rights, do now hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Now, I didn't say they were equal. I said they were created equal. The unequalness came from that step forward. Be created equal. convict, wasn't he? Oh, no, he was president. Oh, wait. Pick your poison. It really doesn't make any difference. That you come into a dynamic of what's important, then you use the rest of those days figuring out how that's not important. So if that's true and we accept and understand that, then you don't have to push against anything. Just pay a little bit of attention and notice in your reality what is and go the opposite way. If you can do that every single time without fail or exception, you'll rarely be found trampled by the crowd.
William Burroughs said, the mass always loses.
Mm-hmm.
How is our audience? Have they got any points or questions they want to make?
They're just laughing at these trickeries that we're shining, that they've engaged from their tweetable TV bodies. And they're wondering when we're going to get to the real stuff or where the realness is. And we go, well, this is pretty significant from the larger dynamic. Because if you figure this out, guess what? If you want to sleep with a bunch of women, don't take up hitting the little white ball. Okay? And wait now, let's turn this around. Porn stars that are good at it get paid to sleep with however aberrated, beautiful women. Well, they get paid to engage in what they're wanting to engage in. But if you hit the little white ball and you have this same function, then all of a sudden you're a scoundrel and you're not worthy to hit the little white ball anymore. We don't understand. So maybe if you're a porn star and you sleep with anybody that'll be still and enjoy that process and don't care what anybody thinks, then you should go and take up golf. And we're sure many of those porn stars enjoy golf. Would they be judged then by how they played golf rather than how they did their day job, which was pornography? Oh, that John Holmes, you can't trust him. He hit a double bogey. And we know he picked that ball up, even though it was in the cart. It was in the cart. And did you see that? David, he left. It was a mess. It was amazing. You can't do it. You just can't do it. He does not.
We're not going to put him in porn movies anymore.
Yeah, we're not going to buy his porn anymore because, you know, he's really good at golf. Yeah, through this. Now, that sounds so silly, but then you turn around the other way and look at it, you're kind of going, what does him playing golf have to do with whom he is engaging coitus with? What does it have to do with that?
The common theme here is that the human condition of the unascended man, the human condition is you always use your mind to distinguish something from something else. So if it's going that way, you want to create a relationship with it or against it. But you're always thinking and picking and selecting and filtering, and the mass mind does that. They're always selecting. They always got to find something to complain about.
We call that fuss and worry.
That's more
fuss and worry. And we're doing it, too, just in a cheekily fun way to bring attention to how silly it is. But if you think about it for about 2 seconds, it gets kind of soberingly, chillingly, novocainingly numbing with a side of viscous lidocaine to get you to the point where you don't care about anything. If that's what's the important thing, that the dynamic that we have to embrace and settle today, there ain't too much going on.
Humans live a curiously semi-empty life, and this is what's going on, and they find great joy out of selecting and filtering and gossiping about it.
To what end? Others would give their testes to have the notoriety of being such a catch that he can sleep with everybody.
You're saying they wish they had the fame of Tiger Woods?
No. Forget the fame business. They don't want that. To have the ability to sleep with 14 beautiful white women.
Most men might want that, right?
It would certainly be alluring. They're like, they can't even keep the wife. They God, how are they going to bed 14 other women in their spare time for pizza?
You're saying most people want what?
If you take an average male,
he would like
a beer-drinking male, they, in their privacy of boy time, would play and laugh and go gaga over Lady Gaga just be too much fun to sleep with 15 or 20 women. Great. But if you have in that crew of men folks who are actually sleeping with 15 or 20 women, guess what he'd say? Well, no, not so much.
Wait, I didn't get it. If he, the beer drinking, was with the 15?
Right. If you had a crew, if you had a crew of your friends, and they were all talking about how they'd like to sleep with 15 different women, and everybody's just joking and playing and laughing and taking on. And if you were a human creator who was actually engaging in that, you would have a very quiet, sobering moment.
You would be the beer-drinking boy time guy?
Yeah, the one that was doing it. He would just be very, very, very quiet, or he'd say, well, you know, it's not always cracked up to me.
He would say that.
Or say nothing. And
yeah, to the group that was joking. So your point is what?
The dynamic of the aspect of what they're judging Tiger for, most of them would forfeit their testicles to be able to do.
I don't know if any guy is complaining about what he's doing, but the media representatives of the Android team, they complain, but they personally don't live that way.
Those women aren't digging that hole to put that cross to hang him for his crucifixion. Those women aren't set up Golgotha.
What are you saying? They're not going to Golgotha, the women?
The women aren't digging the hole that they're going to put Tiger's cross in to put it up into the air to crucify Tiger. Those women aren't digging that hole.
What are they doing?
They're poking their men and saying, get that shovel and dig that hole. We're going to crucify Tiger. And God damn it, you're going to watch. You're going to dig the hole and you're going to cut down the tree and you're going to crucify him. Because if you have one thought...
You don't mean his girlfriend. See, who are the women you're talking about? You're talking about the average...
No, women that are having this how horrible, appalling...
Oh, it's the women. It's the women who are the moral...
Tiger is. Tiger's been bouncing everywhere. Bouncy, 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 bouncy. And yet, if they were in a relationship where there's no bouncy, bouncy going on, they're like, gosh, I remember that. There was something
about that. I lost all bearing. Okay, let's start over again.
Women are having the gossiping, having the issue regarding all this stuff of the news.
The women of the viewer, you know, the audience, not the women who are screwing Tiger.
Oh, no, they're just trying to get their mad because... Girl number 9 is getting more press than girl number 14.
Okay, gotcha.
I got that.
Okay.
Sidebar.
So the moral outrage about Tiger and the pressures on the media to, or the advertisers to cancel him is coming from women.
Mm-hmm. And they're pushing their men that they need to have an opinion about it.
Oh, I see. Everybody's checking here. Well, then that explains this is an important issue. Everybody's trying to find out where it's at. And Tiger is the sacrificial lamb. We're looking at his life.
And where they are in their own lives in perspective of Tiger's world.
So a lot of people are starting to look at their husbands saying, are you doing this too? There's a lot of suspicion going on.
Of course.
The American women have a breakdown because they're now beginning to worry that their husbands are like Tiger.
Yeah.
And they are. Their husbands are like Tiger and doing it.
Somebody's bouncing somewhere, Bob.
So the women aren't going to have it anymore. Or the ones married aren't going to have it.
Well, and those that aren't anyway having it anymore.
I know. Well, who's the aren't? Who doing what?
Well, the women who you said the women are having it anymore. And I said yes. And those that aren't.
What?
They're not having sex. Those women who aren't having the dynamic of this Tiger problem.
Are not having
their
sex.
World
are already not.
Aren't not having it anymore.
Yeah.
Already anyway. So then that dynamic is, well, if you're not sleeping with me, exactly who are you sleeping with?
The average woman who's not getting laid by her husband is saying, since these husbands run around screwing a lot of other people, are you doing that?
And, you know, they spend a lot of time on the golf course.
Yeah, the men do, don't they? Yes. You're picking up, you can hear everybody, a lot of arguing going on in the homes.
Because they question their own validity of their relationship.
Some people say art inspires people, but another kind of art is it pricks the community's conscience. It makes them think about their lives. Then this is a modern art form, because it's like modern theater. It makes everybody look at their lives and get self-conscious.
Yes, but sometimes they look at it like Picasso and they don't understand it.
But they feel they have feel they must understand because it's affecting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was the point you wanted to make?
We have no idea.
You were starting to say, okay, let's get back to my point. So it is...
That's the only one we get to do, so continue.
The one that I'm doing? You start saying, oh, Bob, okay, so the whole point is... Bob comes in, rams in, no, I'm going to get the whole point. And then I can't remember.
Well, you'll come up with it.
Add a little confidence in your memory.
No, you'll come back around to it.
Yes,
maybe
I will.
Wait a second.
Yes, I'm the leading edge of creation. I'm the snowplow. This belly does not make any progress until Bob plows the ones he forgot to plow.
That's
what I said. We push forward. We were talking about how these tiger and the women are pissed, and the men are... Yeah, this point about the men joke among themselves, and the guy who's actually doing it wouldn't joke among the boys. He'd keep it to himself. And what would be the point you were making about that? I think
if you're engaging in a healthy sexuality, you understand that in engaging in a healthy sexual environment, that's not weird or wrong or outside of itself.
Oh, that is not wrong, right?
Well, and we don't know of a wrong sexual relationship. You see.
Well, what would be a healthy one?
One that you don't find as offensive.
So if you have a relationship and it is offending you, then that's not healthy.
That's correct. And how that's shown out is anybody has a misstep, okay? Anybody spills the seed, it's over. See, them dogs and cats laying together, and that's an abomination, and there was two women and they living together, they're lesbians or they're miscegenating within the races, or two men is engaging in this nastiness and just on and on and on and on and on. Well, if they weren't in that position of even understanding why that is even appropriately for the individuals that are engaging in it, first of all, if you're so busy working with your relationship in a happy marriage, why you got time or how you got time to notice what's wrong with a lesbian relationship? You get so happy in your own relationship, you don't have time to be bothered with who Elton John is sleeping
with. Yeah, but, you know, but wait a minute. That's the normal chemical body level. We have a TV body. People are going to use it. They need content, so it's always the scandals. And that's why if you turned off TV, there'd still be gossip, but it wouldn't be on this mega level because people wouldn't be watching TV because they didn't have any. It's the fact it's TV that makes all this extreme phenomena happen.
It brings it up to the surface faster. Then it becomes the topical conversation. You can make a perfectly good husband senile with the hen keeps pecking at the fella. You can ruin him to the point where, you know what, if you accuse me of cheating one more time, I'm going to take the heat for cheating, and I'm not cheating, so I'm going to go cheat, so I'm going to prove you right, because you're always right anyway, so you're absolutely right. I haven't, but I'm fixing to. Now what?
In a little village 500 years ago, they did not make money out of the gossip at the well, so to speak. They just gossiped, did daily gossip. Today, we live in an information society. We live in a gossipocracy economy. And you engage in gossip, you can make millions. This is a whole different situation. And TV is the medium, TV and radio, that made information economic. And that screws up all the old industrial production ways of making money. That's why we go post-industrial. Typing is causing this. Typing is collapsing everything because information has been extended into an economic commodity.
Well, I thought typing was the only thing keeping everything going.
It is keeping everything going, but if you stop to think about it, the rational expertise, the experts in their normal economic talk about more jobs, more this, more production, is bullshit because it's not about that. It's just about typing. Typing caused it, and typing saves it. Typing caused the problem, and typing keeps it going. So what are we going to type about? Well, let's type about Tiger Woods. It's an ecology, perfect ecology.
Yeah, now we're out of things, so we'll just type about typing.
Yeah, well, that's what McLuhan did. He started writing. Finney's Wake is writing about writing. He foresaw that dilemma. But the interesting thing is that, what? is that people...
You forget to type your script.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It just makes it more interesting. It makes it a more interesting show if I can't remember his lines. Okay, so the information point, and everybody's typing on nothing. If you actually try to think, you take your chemical body brain and try to figure it out within the categories of normal thought, you won't be able to figure it out, and you'll be in a quandary. You have to move to another level, say the categories don't work, and as McClellan said, perceive the dynamic and articulate it. If you articulate, you sound like Bob, and nobody understands Bob, or if you write a book about it, it looks like Finnegan's Wake, and that's hard to read. So that's the point. You can't talk about it intelligently unless you talk about the way I'm talking about it.
So why couldn't you complete the McClellanism, however, instead of perceive it, you precede it?
You study the effects before the causes, and you, Bob knows all this. That's why I don't have to read anything. I already know the cycle, and I know the level of opinionating I can come to that doesn't even need to know the details, because the details get all caught in a tangle of categories, and you can pretend you're making sense, but if you step back and you want to make sense, you'll see you didn't make sense and what you were saying about everything. For example, in the economy, no expert has been able to explain what happened the past year. There's been a lot of fragmented hopings and prayings and speculations about this and that while everybody typed up, but nobody really knows what happened the past year. It's never been properly explained unless they heard my YouTubes. My thing wouldn't be understood, though. But do you see what I mean? The explanations are commodified and sold, but they don't go anywhere, and most people do not say what's happening. Geithner, Greenspan, Oracle, Omaha, they do not make intelligent statements about what's going on. It's usually a half-truth emotional reaction. That's where people need to be trained in. They need the kids to be showed that you will not be able to discuss the complexity of this situation using your English language or any verbal language. You've got to perceive it on another level. And once you can do that, then you can perceive it, and then you don't get involved.
Then it goes by you, and the world can fall, but it doesn't have to fall on you.
And which is what you said is the deal with me and Carolyn. We've known that and acted that way because we perceive it. Well, I do anyways.
Well, she does too.
Yeah, but she's busy helping people.
Well, she has to do something, otherwise her whole life would be answering your questions.
So. That's right, yes. She does something practical to run away from the... Here I am, the guy who asks all the questions, but I also claim to be able to answer them.
Well, you do. But meanwhile, she can, as a sidebar, can give the world all their information that they need to be healthier, find their wellness, and in her spare time answer your questions as well. So
yes.
Things pretty evolved to us.
Oh, she's got it down.